Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Happy Monday to you. Happy Eclipse Day as you are listening to us on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key. And we have got a jam-packed show. This is Masters Week. We had a busy weekend to include the Braves getting the sweep over the Diamondbacks. Another walk-off in their opener. We had the Women's National Championship for the NCAA yesterday. South Carolina winning their third title, and that is expected to be the highest-rated women's basketball game of all time because of the Caitlin Clark effect. We got a national championship in the men's basketball tonight. It's Purdue taking on UConn. I'm going to also talk about everything local to Columbus, and I will get into my Masters coverage. But hope you're staying safe. The eclipse should be here in about an hour. We're probably going to get about 80%, but what you need to do is go out and buy some special eclipse glasses. Don't look at the thing. Look, I went through the whole eclipse back in 2017. I remember I was up in Virginia at the time. I actually got to see maybe just a little bit of it, not quite in the path of the full eclipse where it's completely black for an entire, 15 seconds where it's completely dark. Yeah, we're not going to see that in Georgia, but they are seeing that up in New York. And that's where I was last week. I was in New York State visiting family, just about an hour and 20 minutes outside of New York City. Got to see the Statue of Liberty one day, and then the following day we went into Times Square, drove into the Lincoln Tunnel, and just spent time with the family, and got to see the Big Apple, got some souvenirs, got to see some sights, and had famous food in New York, like bagels, pizza, hot dog, you know, all the stuff that I love to have. And it's great to be back in Georgia. And the funny story is the earthquake that hit New York City, the 4.8 earthquake on the Richter scale, once that hit, I never felt it. We were driving into the city, got some people asking if we were okay. I mean, of course I'm going to be okay. I survived the 1989 quake in the San Francisco Bay Area, and that was, I believe, 6.8 on the Richter scale, that Loma Prieta earthquake on October 17th. Haven't really felt an earthquake since, but this one I did not feel. All right, let's go ahead and dive right into the show. I'm going to start with the Women's National Championship, South Carolina. Well, what can you say about the South Carolina Gamecocks? National champions, 87-75 over Iowa. Caitlin Clark had 30 points, had 18 in the first half. South Carolina did a fantastic job defensively. Raven Johnson, the Atlanta native, had the hand in the face, and the shots just were not coming easily for Caitlin Clark. In fact, she struggled in that second half. There were chances that Iowa could cut the lead to single digits. I mean, they got it down to 5. And if Caitlin Clark was able to make some shots, maybe Iowa ends up pulling it off. But South Carolina is too deep of a team. They have a deep bench, starting with Tessa Johnson. She had 19 points, the freshman. Another freshman, Malaysia Fawiley. She came off the bench with 9 points. And they also unbelievably score 39 points off the bench. That was absolutely incredible. They shot better than Iowa, 47% to 39%. And Iowa coming off of the emotions of that win over UConn in the Final Four, which ended in controversy with that moving screen. But Iowa in the championship game once again, they jumped out to that 10-0 lead. And all I could think of was South Carolina was the better team. South Carolina were getting a lot of easier shots. Iowa was settling for jumpers, and you know, Caitlin Clark would have had to put on the superhero cape to try to win this game. She did score 30, but she had to score 50 in this game for Iowa to win the NCAA championship. This doesn't hurt her legacy. She still is one of the all-time greats and is going to have a fantastic WNBA career. She's expected to be the overall number one pick in the WNBA draft by the Indiana Fever. Caitlin Clark, nothing to hang on, because two back-to-back championship appearances for the Iowa Hawkeyes is incredible, and they're not known for a college basketball powerhouse. And so Caitlin Clark really drew a lot of eyeballs to the TV screen. Maybe if this game was in prime time, might have more viewers, but a 3 o'clock game in the afternoon on ABC on a Sunday, there wasn't a whole lot of sporting events. I'm sure that this drew an incredible rating. So tonight we have the men's championship. It's Purdue taking on the overall number one seed and the defending NCAA champion UConn Huskies. Purdue was able to get by NC State 63-50 in the Final Four, as Zach Edey once again with a double-double with 20 points. And he leads the Purdue Boilermakers to the championship for the first time since 1969. They're trying to win their first championship. Going up against a UConn Huskies team that has been dominating just about everybody in front of them. 36-3. They defeated Alabama 86-72. Now, Alabama was a very good offensive team that's known for scoring in the 90s, and they've even gotten to 100. But it was Donovan Klingon and Stephon Castle leading the way for the UConn Huskies. And Stephon Castle with 21 points, Donovan Klingon with 18. And Mark Sears did have 24 points. You had Grant Nelson with 19. And Alabama got it close, but too much UConn Huskies. And now the championship is set tonight on TBS, 9:20 p.m. It's Purdue taking on UConn. I cannot wait for that matchup between Zach Edey and Donovan Klingon, and UConn trying to win their sixth NCAA championship since 1999. I've never been a believer in UConn. I've always been critical of the UConn Huskies and the way they have gotten their championships. Like, they've gotten a lot of breaks, beaten teams that are just happy to be there, like a San Diego State, like a Butler, like a Georgia Tech. But if Connecticut wins this championship, they will have earned it because they've dominated everybody in front of them. And that is a great feeling if you are a UConn Huskies fan. Hey, the Braves had a good weekend, but we still don't know the injury of Spencer Strider. He has a UCL tear. He's going to be out for a while, but the Braves did pick up the three-game sweep against the defending National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks. Let's start with Friday's game, because this is starting to become familiar territory for the Atlanta Braves. They had their home opener at Truist Park. They defeated the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-5 in 10 innings. They win it in walk-off fashion. You know, they were down 5-2 going into the eighth inning. And you know, Ronald Acuna Jr. doubled to score Orlando Arcia to cut it to 2. And then in the ninth, you had Kalenic doubling to score Matt Olson. And then Travis d'Arnaud walks it off. And they win the game on Friday. Now, Saturday, they were down 2. And the Atlanta Braves ended up beating the Diamondbacks 9-8, fighting back from a 6-run deficit. And if there's any concern for the Atlanta Braves, because Spencer Strider is hurt, It's their starting pitching, because Max Fried did not have a good outing once again. And then yesterday in the matinee, the Diamondbacks get the 5-2 victory over the Diamondbacks as Michael Harris II hit the go-ahead home run in the fourth inning. And Chris Sale picks up his first win as an Atlanta Brave. And Pierce Johnson gets his first save as an Atlanta Brave. Well, they got a four-game series coming up at Truist Park tonight against the New York Mets. And I actually think the Atlanta Braves could run away with this division. Right now, they are 6-2. The surprise team of the National League, it is the Pittsburgh Pirates with an 8-2 record. Percentage-wise, they have the best record in the National League. Over in the American League, the New York Yankees with an 8-2 record, the Boston Red Sox with a 7-3 record. I can't wait until these two teams face each other. This is the best rivalry in sports. I just got done watching that ESPN 30 for 30 4 days in October because I was on a plane and I already downloaded that to my phone. And so as I watched this, I just romanticized about how that was the greatest moment in sports history. And how fitting would that be if the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees ended up meeting in the postseason once again? It didn't really have that feel to it when they met in a one-game playoff, but I want to see them in the ALCS. This is what everybody wants to see. Boston, New York, Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. They feel they got the team to do this with the addition of Juan Soto. You got Garrett Cole, your ace. Aaron Judge is probably going to hit 60 home runs. You got Giancarlo Stanton. You got Gleyber Torres. I mean, you got some great New York Yankees players, but it just doesn't have the same feel to the Yankees in the late 90s that won the four World Series titles. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. If you're a Yankees fan, you got to be excited about what they are doing right now. 8-2, and they are rolling in the American League. Also, the Cleveland Guardians with a 7-2 record, doing pretty good, and the defending World Series champions. You know, they said they were going to drop off, that they were a one-hit wonder. But let me tell you something. The Texas Rangers, looking pretty good, 6-3. They are on top in the American League West. And Adolis Garcia, I think that he could be an MVP candidate. I mean, he had a really good World Series last year, and he is not skipping a beat. Meanwhile, the Oakland Athletics, it did receive word over the week. You know, they did get the 2 out of 3 against the Detroit Tigers. I mean, the Oakland Athletics right now are 3-7. But the word that got out, this will be their final year in Oakland. They are going to play the next two seasons in Sacramento. Now, as a Sacramento native, I lived in Sacramento from 97 to 2005. This would excite me because, you know, what I know as Raleigh Field, that's where the Sacramento River Cats played minor league baseball since 2000, that the A's are going to play in this stadium. It's actually located in West Sacramento. And so the Sacramento community is going to get to have the Oakland A's just for a couple of years until they make that move to Vegas. On the flip side, the Sacramento River Cats are going to move down to Oakland, and they are going to play minor league baseball in Oakland. So they will play in Sacramento from 2025 to 2027. They expect to make the move to Vegas in 2028. All right, why don't we take our first break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about the Masters, as the Masters is coming up. It's a tradition like none other at Augusta National Country Club, and they got a lot of Masters stuff coming up, including the meet and greet, the par 3 contest on Wednesday, and then day one of the Masters starts on Thursday. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, and we are presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We'll be right back.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control. Repair. Bond. Best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
And welcome back to the exclusive coverage of the Masters here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. This is Masters Week, as the Augusta National Club will tee things off. Day one of the Masters will be Thursday, and the tee times have already been set for all the players for the first two rounds. We have the par 3 contest on Wednesday. It is just an incredible event, and it's really going to be an event that is going to feature a local golfer to Columbus. You know, he's born in Macon, but we all know the story of Russell Henley. Finished tied for fourth at the Masters last year, was in contention on Sunday. He even had a minus 5. He was within striking distance of the leaderboard. And Russell Henley is going to play in the Masters this year. Unfortunately, Larry Mize had his final Masters last year. But, you know, when you think of golf in Columbus, you also think of Larry Mize. And last year, Ben Carr barely missed the cut. He almost made the cut. And he was an amateur last year. He finished second in the amateur championship. And Ben Carr turned pro last year. Unfortunately, he's not playing in the Masters, but I'm looking forward to seeing Ben Carr and his golf career. The next major is going to be the PGA Championship, and I'm looking forward to seeing Ben Carr probably in the U.S. Open. I think that once we get to the Open Championship and the U.S. Open, that Ben Carr will be playing in that, and I'm looking forward to seeing his golf career. The former Columbus Blue Devil and Georgia Southern alum turned pro last year. But really, it's all about Russell Henley. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Russell Henley can do, as he had a very impressive fourth place last year. So John Rahm is your defending champion, and Scottie Scheffler is the odds-on favorite to win the Masters. And if you're a Tiger Woods fan like I am, Tiger Woods, who's 48 years old, obviously, well past his prime. I mean, he does have some moments, but everything's got to just fall into place. He actually made the cut last year, but had to pull out of the third round because of an ankle injury that was suffered from that car accident in 2021. Tiger Woods,
has 160-1 odds to win the Masters. The 15-time major champion who last won the Masters in 2019. That was his last major. I know that the story, Tiger Woods trying to catch Jack Nicklaus, who has 18 major championships. Tiger Woods is just a fascinating story, and I would love to see him in that red shirt on Sunday in contention. But how about Phil Mickelson? Last year, tied for third with Brooks Koepka. I actually think, in my mind, Brooks Koepka, the way he's built, I mean, he looks like a golfer. He reminds me of Tiger Woods. Brooks Koepka is one of those that you've got to root for just about every time. I'm also a big fan of Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth. We all look at these up-and-coming golfers, and these are not up-and-coming golfers anymore. I mean, they're in their 30s now. But we look at them and we think, who is going to be the next Tiger Woods? You got to remember, nobody can duplicate what Tiger Woods did. He dominated the sport in the early 2000s, almost went for the Grand Slam. You know, they were calling it the Tiger Slam. I mean, he completely dominated the sport. This is what Tiger Woods did early in his golfing career. And this was all up to 2008 before he finally won the Masters in 2019. He won the Masters in 1997. It was the largest margin of victory. He had a minus 18. The runner-up was Tom Kite. Just incredible, dominant, shot a 65 in day three. 1999, he wins the PGA Championship. And it was a one-stroke win over Sergio Garcia. And he was tied for the lead going in. And remember, Tiger Woods has never won a major that he was behind, except 2019 when he was down by two shots. This is when his run got really interesting. In 2000, he won the U.S. Open, 10-shot lead. He won the British Open or the Open Championship, whatever you want to call it, and the PGA Championship. It was the second PGA Championship. So in a three-year span since he was pro, he already had five majors. 2001, he wins the Masters, wins it again in 2002. And then 2002, he wins the U.S. Open. Now, he goes 2 years without winning a major, but he still was dominant during those 2 years. 2005, he wins the Masters. He wins the Open Championship in 2005. Wins the Open Championship again in 2006. Wins the PGA Championship for the third time in 2006. And then in 2007, he wins the PGA Championship for the fourth time. 2008, that famous playoff against Rocco Mediate, that incredible shot to win the U.S. Open in 2008. And he didn't win a major until 2019. It was a redemption story for Tiger Woods to win the major in 2019. And I really think it is just fascinating that Tiger Woods is even playing golf, especially after the car accident in 2021. I look at Tiger Woods, and he is somebody that's easy to root for. I don't consider him a villain in golf. I love the rivalry he had with Phil Mickelson. But you look at what Phil Mickelson did. I mean, he's 53 years old. So last year, at the age of 52, he was in contention at the Masters, and he was tied for third. Phil Mickelson has six major championships, including three green jackets for the Masters. He won it in 2004, 2006, and 2010. He last won a major in 2021. It was the PGA Championship when he defeated Brooks Koepka and Louis Oosthuizen. But Phil Mickelson is one of those guys you can root for, especially after this the incredible round he had last year at the Masters where he tied for second. Last year was special. John Rahm, who's a live golfer, is the defending champion. And, you know, the Masters is that first tournament where you talk about the PGA or you talk about the live tournament. The Masters tournament will start April the 11th, and it will wrap up Sunday on April the 14th. Jack Nicklaus has the most Masters wins with six, including that incredible finish in 1986, where he became the oldest Masters winner. But here's some of the tournament winners from the past. Last year, John Rahm, the Spaniard, he only becomes the fourth Spaniard to win the Masters. He defeated Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson by four strokes to shoot a minus 12. Scottie Scheffler, the odds-on favorite to win it this year, won it in 2022. Hideki Matsuyama won it in 2021, and he was just a huge underdog. He defeats Will Zalatoris by one stroke. Dustin Johnson, he actually breaks the record with a minus 20, wins it by five strokes in 2020. Remember, this was the COVID year. The Masters was being held in November. Of course, Tiger Woods wins it in 2019. Patrick Reed defeats Ricky Fowler by one stroke in 2018 to win the Masters. Sergio Garcia wins his first ever major in 2017. I felt like this was the breakthrough year. Sergio Garcia defeats Justin Rose in that playoff. And then 2016, Danny Willett defeats Jordan Spieth and Lee Westwood by three strokes. Jordan Spieth wins it in 2015. 2014, Bubba Watson wins his second green jacket. 2013, Adam Scott wins the Masters, defeating Angel Cabrera. And then Bubba Watson wins it in 2012, his first green jacket. Carl Schwartzel wins it in 2011, the South African. And then Phil Mickelson wins it in 2010, his third green jacket. 2009, Angel Cabrera came out of nowhere and won the Masters. He's been a good golfer, but nobody expected him to win the green jacket in 2009. And then in 2008, you have Trevor Immelman, who defeated Tiger Woods by three strokes. 2007, Zach Johnson with a plus one, very rare score. He actually defeated by two strokes Retief Goetzen, Rory Sabatini, and Tiger Woods. 2006, Phil Mickelson wins his second green jacket. 2005, Tiger Woods wins his fourth, beating Chris DeMarco in the playoff. And then 2004, Phil Mickelson defeats Ernie Els by one stroke. 2003, the Canadian, Mike Weir, he defeats Lynn Matthäus in a playoff. And then 2002, Tiger Woods wins it back-to-back in 2002 and 2001. 2000, remember this guy? I remember this guy on the tour. Vijay Singh, the Fijian. He wins the Masters, defeating Ernie Els by three strokes. 1999, Jose Maria Oyarzabal defeats Davis Love III by two strokes. 98, Mark O'Meara ends up defeating Fred Couples and David Duval. And then, of course, we all remember Tiger Woods winning by 12 strokes in 1997. Nick Faldo won the Masters in 1996. Remember, he won the Players' Championship with Bob Barker in 95. Ben Crenshaw wins it in 95. And then 1994, Jose Maria Oyarzabal wins his first of two green jackets. And then 1993, Bernhard Langer wins his second green jacket. 92, Fred Couples ends up winning the Masters. 1991, Ian Woosnam ends up winning the Masters. In 1990 and 1989, is Nick Faldo once again. Sandy Lyle wins it in 1988. And then this is where we get to Larry Mize, who won the playoff against Steve Ballesteros and Greg Norman. This is where Larry Mize and his incredible shot won him his first green jacket, and he will forever be known as probably the greatest golfer to ever come out of Columbus. I mean, he's originally from Augusta. He calls Columbus his home. A couple of years ago, I aired a special with Dave Plata talking about Larry Mize. And look, a lot of people in the 1987 Masters thought it was Greg Norman choking. But, you know, you got to remember that Larry Mize won this. I mean, I know the media is going to talk about how Greg Norman couldn't win it. But it was a fantastic effort by Larry Mize. And that shot, a career-defining shot, a chip off the green at the 11th hole, to win the Masters. And it was his only major title to date. But Larry Mize, who went to Georgia Tech, played in his final Masters last season. And right now, I mean, he finished third in 94. You know, he's played in the Masters every year up to last year. And the last time he was in another major that wasn't the Masters was 2003 when he missed the cut at the U.S. Open. But the last time that Larry Mize made the cut was 2017 when he finished 52nd. All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and take another break. We're going to go pay some bills. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about everything happening in and around the Chattahoochee Valley, to include the Columbus River Dragons and high school baseball. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we'll be right back.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. On WQEE, Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Hey, the River Dragons clinch home ice throughout the Federal Prospects Hockey League playoffs. That's right. Yesterday, they defeated the Mississippi Seawolves 9-5. They did take on the Blue Ridge Bobcats on Friday and Saturday, and they split the series with the Bobcats. They currently stand at 39-7-3 with 128 points. But at this point, it doesn't matter. They have wrapped up home ice. And right now, if the playoffs were to start tomorrow, they would take on the Mississippi Seawolves in the first round of the playoffs because they are the number one seed. Carolina would take on Port Huron. Now, over in the Empire Division, there's still one playoff spot up for grabs. Bremerton right now is the number one seed. There's still a differential between Motor City and Danbury for the number two seed. Right now, Danbury is the number three seed, the defending FPHL champions. And then Elmira and Watertown, the 4 and 5 seeds, still are fighting for that fourth and final playoff spot. I expect the Columbus River Dragons, if they get home ice, they should be the odds-on favorite to win the Federal Prospects Commissioner's Cup. They won the Ignite Cup in 2021, but because of the COVID year and there was only four teams, it just didn't have the same feel. A championship is a championship, and they get to put that banner up in the Columbus Civic Center, but I just think this is going to be special if they do that here. I've been a part of the playoff runs the last two seasons. I went to game one of the semifinals last year against Carolina. Unfortunately, they fell in games two and three up in Carolina. 2 years ago in the Commissioner's Cup final, they defeated Watertown in game one, but lost games two and three in heartbreak fashion. I think that home ice is going to be a little bit different for the River Dragons because they're playing with house money. If they have the 1-2 playoff format, the River Dragons can maybe steal a game on the road, and that just means that they'll have games two and three at home to try to clinch and move on to the next level. But home ice throughout the playoffs, so that means even in the Commissioner's Cup final, which usually that becomes a best of five, the Columbus River Dragons will have home ice. As the regular season is starting to come to a close, we have one more game left to go on the schedule this Saturday, Fan Appreciation Night against the Carolina Thunderbirds. And on Friday, I mean, if you're a big sports fan in the Fountain City, we got the home opener of the Columbus Lions. Right now, the Columbus Lions are 1-0, taking on the Amarillo Venom, who are 0-2 in the American Football League. Columbus trying to go 2-0 as they are looking to get another victory against Amarillo. Right now, the Corpus Christi Tritons are 2-0 in the league, and the Harrisburg Stampede is 1-0. All right, so Columbus State, they had a very good weekend as they sweep South Carolina. Beaufort, the Sand Sharks fall to the Cougars. Columbus State is now 25-14 overall, 12-6 in the Peach Belt Conference. They will host West Alabama at Burger King Stadium at Ragsdale Field this Tuesday, and they get ready to go on the road to Americus, not that far away, it's about an hour away, to take on Georgia Southwestern. Columbus State, as they wrap up the regular season, get ready for the Peach Belt playoffs, which will take place later at the end of this month. Meanwhile, Columbus State softball, they got swept by the number two ranked team in the country, North Georgia, and they are 25-18. They got a doubleheader this Wednesday at Cougar Field, taking on West Georgia as they make their transition to NCAA Division I, as they're playing in NCAA Division II for the final time. And that's going to be a very intriguing game, very fun game, as the Peach Belt Conference Tournament will start April 26th and it will run through April 28th. The championship game is going to run through May 3rd through May the 5th. Meanwhile, I do want to give a shout out to the three outdoor soccer teams that we do have here in the Fountain City. Now, say what you want about these leagues, as the tier of league in the United Premier Soccer League or the National Premier Soccer League, it doesn't matter. Soccer is soccer. These players, some of them were even former Columbus Rapids, they're playing outdoor soccer. And, you know, you got Fountain City FC. You know, they got a big game coming up at Otis Spencer Stadium this Saturday, taking on the other outdoor soccer team in Columbus, FC Columbus Elite. Now, FC Columbus Elite took on FC Dublin, Legion FC Dublin, at Kinnett Stadium over the weekend. And that was a good game. But how about Fountain City FC? 5-2 win over Lemino and Tristan Scheitel with 5 goals. Have yourself a day, my friend. And then don't forget that Columbus United FC, they play in the National Premier Soccer League. Their season is coming up. So why am I talking about outdoor soccer? I mean, we got three teams in Columbus playing outdoor soccer. We don't have an indoor soccer team because the Columbus Rapids folded after two seasons in the National Indoor Soccer League. They tried to get a team to replace the Columbus Rapids, and they tried to call them Foundry FC. Well, that obviously did not work out. They did have a schedule. Their first game was supposed to be January 21st, and then they decided they could not play at the Columbus Civic Center. They later were going to be a travel team, and that didn't work out either. But the NISL is still going strong in year three as the Albany Aces right now. They actually have the best record in the NISL on the men's side. And there's some familiar faces like Brandon Cervantes, who played for the Columbus Rapids. He was the leading goal scorer. He's actually playing for the Albany Aces. And I just want to say it's nice just to see former Columbus Rapids players, like a player like Braden Wood, who not only played for the Rapids, but he also played for St. Ampicelli, to sign a contract with Columbus United FC. So good for them. I want to see them do well. Still sad, still hurts that the Columbus Rapids do not exist anymore. But hey, life will continue to go on. High school baseball over the weekend. How about those Central Red Devils? 29-1. They get the win over Troup County 4-2. Smith Station ends up beating Dothan 9-1. Glenwood ends up sweeping Deerfield Windsor as Glenwood's got a big game against Calvary Christian coming up this Thursday. And then Pacelli ends up beating Abbeville Christian 11-0. Pacelli is 14-4 on the season. You got Brookstone, who's 17-13, and they get ready to take on the series against Heritage. You got Carver taking on Hardaway later today on the campus of Hardaway High School. Harris County is traveling up to Opelika. Kendrick on the road for a doubleheader taking on Central of Macon. And then you got Glenwood in a region game taking on Southern Prep. So I plan on being at Kendrick once again tomorrow on Georgia-Alabama Sports Live as the Jordan Red Jackets are going to be at Kendrick. Jordan 10-7, 7-4 in their region, currently in first place. Shaw is actually hosting Westover. Northside is on the road against McIntosh. Harris County is hosting Drew. Calvary Christian taking on Central Georgia Arts. And Spencer taking on Ace Charter for a doubleheader. And then we also have Pacelli hosting St. Mary's Academy. Brookstone taking on Heritage. Russell County is taking on Park Crossing. And also on Wednesday, we got Central and Auburn and Smith Station and Opelika. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to all those games. High school baseball as the regular season just about to come to a close. All right, we're going to take a break. Final break of the show. When we come back, I'm going to close out this show talking about the UFL. Going to talk about the NBA and what to expect in this upcoming NFL draft. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia-Alabama Sports Live, and we'll be right back.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy. Because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
We are back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia-Alabama Sports Live. Week two in the UFL, and no surprise that the defending champion, Birmingham Stallions, they get the 20-13 victory over the Michigan Panthers yesterday. But on Saturday, the big upset was the San Antonio Brahmas getting the 20-19 win over the Memphis Showboats. You had the St. Louis Battlehawks defeat the Arlington Renegades 27-24. And then you had the DC Defenders defeating the Houston Roughnecks 23-18. So right now, Birmingham and San Antonio, both 2-0 on the season. Week three coming up, you have Memphis at Birmingham. Then you have the DC Defenders taking on the Arlington Renegades. St. Louis Battlehawks taking on the San Antonio Brahmas. The Houston Roughnecks taking on the Michigan Panthers. NBA. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, they get a statement win over the Los Angeles Lakers in what might be a preview of a first round game if the Lakers can get out of the play-in game. The Minnesota Timberwolves are currently tied for first place with the Denver Nuggets, as the Nuggets on Saturday had no problem over the Hawks. The Hawks are locked into that 9-10 play-in game. It just depends on whether that's going to be in Atlanta or in Chicago. But some of the other scores from yesterday in the association. Remember, no games today because of the Men's Basketball National Championship. You had the Knicks getting the win over the Bucks, 122-109. The Warriors. How about the Warriors? The Warriors have had the second most wins since January the 30th, more than any other team in the NBA, and they are one of the hottest teams, along with the Lakers, because right now, the Lakers would play the Warriors in the 9-10 matchup, and that's really a toss-up. You got LeBron going up against Steph. That's going to have a massive number as the play-in tournament will start on April the 16th. Sacramento is the number 8 seed, and New Orleans is the number 7 seed. Looking at that, the Kings end up getting a huge win over the Brooklyn Nets. The 76ers ends up beating the Spurs in double overtime. You got the Pelicans end up beating the Suns. I think that the Pelicans could sneak in to that number 6 seed, and then the Suns end up playing in the play-in game. The Dallas Mavericks end up beating the Houston Rockets. The Clippers, a big come-from-behind win as Paul George has 39 points. Don't sleep on the Clippers. I think if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard start getting hot, I think the Clippers could end up pulling off an upset, especially I think they're going to end up getting the number 4 seed, and they could end up facing Denver in the second round of the playoffs. So no games today, but on Tuesday, we do have the Atlanta Hawks hosting the Miami Heat, and then some of the other games, including the Warriors and Lakers. That's going to be a good one. NFL news, NFL free agency, I mean, it's all there. Just trying to pass the time until the NFL draft, April the 25th. I mean, we know about Rashid Rice for the Chiefs and his street racing, you know, what's going on there. And then Stephon Diggs going to Houston. The Giants are ended up bringing back Isaiah Simmons back on a one-year deal. And now let's look at the NFL draft, because a lot of prospects has got J.J. McCarthy moving up the draft board. You know Arizona's not going to take a quarterback. So there's a possible chance that they could trade down. Maybe Minnesota or the Giants ends up getting the 4th overall pick, which would be crazy to pick 4 quarterbacks in the first 4 picks of the NFL draft. I mean, some of them, history tells you that they are going to be busts. But I don't know which quarterbacks are going to be a bust. But here's the latest mock draft. There's no surprise. Caleb Williams is not moving anywhere. He is probably the most sure prospect since Andrew Luck to come out of the draft. Drake May going to Washington at number 2. Drake May has just got the size. He's got the weapon in Terry McLaurin. He does have a defensive coach in Dan Quinn,
but you also have Cliff Kingsbury, and he does a good job developing quarterbacks. The Patriots probably getting the quarterback with the most upside, Jaden Daniels, is probably going to fit what the Patriots want to try to do. Gerard Mayo, it is the Patriot way. They don't draft well. I don't know what to expect with Jaden Daniels. I mean, really, they didn't give Mac Jones a fair shake. Arizona expected to draft Marvin Harrison Jr., the sure wide receiver who has been a game changer. And you know that this is a very good wide receiver draft. Malik Nabers going to the Chargers. You know, they're going to have to replace Keenan Allen. And then the New York Giants, they got the number 6 pick. They are projected to select J.J. McCarthy. I think that the Daniel Jones era is over. Tommy DeVito, I mean, that was just a flash in the pants thing. It's not going to work out. The Titans getting Joe Alt with the number 7 pick. Good for them. They get the Pro Bowl offensive tackle they need to protect Will Levis if Will Levis decides to be the quarterback of the future. The Atlanta Falcons are going to draft Dallas Turner because they need to get a double-digit sack guy. And this is a win-now roster, especially with Kirk Cousins in the fold. And then the next quarterback, I'm going to go all the way down to Minnesota. The next quarterback is Michael Penix Jr., who's really been climbing up a lot of draft boards. But like I said, 5 quarterbacks in the first 10, 11 picks? You got to be kidding me. I just don't know if it's going to work out where all 5 are decent. I mean, surely one of those quarterbacks is going to end up being a bust, if not 2. You look at the 2021 draft class, where just about everybody besides Trevor Lawrence was a bust. All right, the next sports story that I do want to talk about, which I saw that and I didn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't think it was real. John Calipari is finalizing a 5-year deal to become the next head coach of the Arkansas Razorback. What does this mean? This means that he is going to have a base salary that's less than what he's making at Kentucky, but he has an opportunity to win at Arkansas. With Eric Musselman leaving Arkansas and going to USC, he didn't really have a fair shake. Arkansas was going to offer Ole Miss's Chris Beard or Kansas State's Jerome Tang, but Calipari has been in so much pressure at Kentucky to win that this was his out, because there was a possibility that Calipari could be fired. He's been the Kentucky head coach since 2009. He only has the 1 title. So I think that Arkansas is going to be getting the players that would come to Kentucky. They're going to get those players that are going to play at the NBA. And I don't know if Arkansas is going to be winning titles. I really don't. And Arkansas does have the 1 title from 1994. But that was just an anomaly. That was Nolan Richardson and his just commitment to defense. Arkansas was very disappointed in Eric Musselman. And I just don't know if John Calipari going to the Arkansas Razorbacks is going to mean that Arkansas is going to start winning titles. Anyway. All right, before I close out this show, WrestleMania. You know, it's a great event. It was at Lincoln Financial Field. Of course, Jason Kelce, the recently retired center of the Philadelphia Eagles, is going to make an appearance. I mean, it's in Philly. Of course he's going to make an appearance. For WrestleMania 40, The Rock was out there. It was just a great event. You know, I didn't watch it because I don't have pay-per-view or whatever it was on. But, you know, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, tag team match. I mean, you had the Logan Paul defeating Randy Orton, Kevin Owens in a triple threat match to retain the title. A lot of great events and production. And I got to tell you, Pat McAfee was part of the broadcast. You got Tom Rinaldi, part of the pregame. Even Snoop Dogg made a appearance like he did last year when WrestleMania was at SoFi Stadium. But hey, you're a wrestling fan. You had to have been impressed with WrestleMania. Well, that is all the time I have here on the show. I do want to thank all my listeners who have downloaded the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and listen to me on WQEE 99.1 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 2 to 3. Don't forget, we got Braves Country Radio with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That is coming up next here on the station with the most sports and the best sports lineup from 12 to 5, starting with Rod Peterson. And there is one guy who I've gotten to know over the years who allows me to be on his show every Tuesday around 8:30. Ryan O'Neill, thank you once again, not only for believing me as a broadcaster, but allowing me to have a radio show 5 days a week where I can not only speak my opinion, but give the sports content that you deserve as a sports fan. And that's really all we ask for in this industry, is that we love sports and we want to give the sports content to all the fans out there. And so once again, thank you for that opportunity. This has really been a fun show. Went the whole hour once again without a guest. But on tomorrow's show, I plan on airing the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live show that Thrift Behringer and I did last night. Actually, it is airing later tonight as we pre-recorded it. And then I got some games that I'm calling this week. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you once again. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Bye.
Hey everybody, this is Andy Christman. Join me this week for worship as I play 2 hours of the best in modern worship music from churches and worship leaders around the world. And this week, my special guest is Blake Goss of New Spring Worship.
See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making ways in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. For us, that scripture came alive because he did a new thing, actually in an old place.
You don't want to miss a moment of this week's worship with me, your host, Andy Christman.
WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, home of Southern sports and talk, Noonan, Sharpsburg, Franklin.
The Baxters have a new first book. From number one New York Times best-selling novelist Karen Kingsbury, author of life-changing fiction, comes The Baxters, a prequel. The heart-pounding story of Carrie Baxter's wedding. Amidst family tension and the worst storm Bloomington, Indiana has seen in a decade. The Baxters, by America's favorite inspirational storyteller, Karen Kingsbury. Visit KarenKingsbury.com for more information. The Baxters, available now wherever books are sold.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia-Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.